Hey.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's call. Off of the recording, I was just saying, oops, and I started to record to the cloud versus recording to the computer, which are the two options when you record on Zoom. And I was like, outing myself for my lack of tech savvy, not even knowing where to even find the recording in the cloud if I had to go locate it there. So I'm reflecting on my tech savviness or lack thereof. I'm going to invite us all to take a moment to breathe. Make any little shake shimmies that you need to get extra comfy cozy for your time together for today, for our time together for today. And as we move towards the session, thank you so much for all of your messages and for all of you that are live. Thank you for letting me know what's up for y'all. And as we head into today's session, we are transforming sadness and overexcitement, or basically any types of joy that aren't true joy, or harmonious joy might be another way to put that, into their healthy role. And as we work within the context of the submit, the collapse response, we're looking basically at all those places and spaces in our lives and our bodies, to whatever degree these patterns are available for us right now. To locate where that weight, that burden, perceived burden of sadness is. And as we work with it in the transformational alchemy that is this work, we begin to slowly, slowly, slowly notice on the other side as we digest whatever layers are available to do just that. Then on the other side, as we digest sadness and overexcitement or any other types of pathological joy, that we actually begin to find the healthy role. And the healthy role is that of being compassionate, being with suffering. So ironically, as we are, maybe not that ironically, as we are with our own suffering, the suffering of others becomes more easeful for us to walk amongst, right, and to be with in supportive ways. And I'm betting we've all had this to a degree. How many times have you just gone to be with a friend, and next thing you know, we're trying to solve problems and we're trying to fix things and we're giving advice or the like in that way. And there's other times where we might not do that. We might find ourselves just being present with them, not necessarily needing to fix anything or change anything or do anything about it, but just simply offering them the companionship of a loving ear and a loving heart as they're walking through whatever challenges they are walking through in life. I'm just gonna put in my earphones, so you're just gonna see me do that. There we go. Okay. There might be a little bit of background noise in my space. This will take care of any of that. I just got a little message that popped up after we started here. Hey y'all. So after all of that talking, I'm going to invite you to begin our session here by means of breathing. Connecting to your breath. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it to drink it in and to mindfully be with it. I was talking with a wonderful group of people that I'd worked with in a retreat not too long ago last night, and I was actually talking about this particular process that we start every session off with. As and I've spoken to this a while ago about it being resourcing, and it just is in my mind to maybe just briefly share just a couple things about that. And this process, as we orient to finding the good things in our lives, begins to slowly over time, as we do it repeatedly, retrain our brain not just to be in survival mode, but to actually look for the beauty in life. And it affords a certain benefit when we engage with it in that way. So on that note, I'm going to invite you to orient yourself in such a fashion by means of either outwardly or inwardly gazing around. And I'm actually going to extend that to actually all five senses. Just letting all five senses go for a little wander around your space, out there, in here, wherever you may be looking. And I'm going to invite you to land on anything in particular that's pleasant to neutral. Looking at anything that's pleasant to neutral. And when you find that thing, I'm going to invite you to notice what it is you like the most about that particular smell, taste, image, feeling, sound that you've landed upon. And as you stay with that thing, noticing all that you like about it, I'm going to invite you to savor it, to appreciate it, to mindfully receive it, and to notice what's happening inside of you. What's happening inside of you? In other words, specifically in relationship to all that you're drinking in that feels pleasant and neutral. What's happening in your side of you, inside of your body mind, that's directly related to that, knowing that there's a bunch of stuff happening in our body minds at all times. And as you notice that, if the thing that you're noticing inside of you in response to whatever your attention is in right now, and that might actually also be something that's inside of you, then noticing the body system's response to that, and if it's pleasant, the invitation or even neutral, savoring that. So it's pleasant to neutral, savoring that. As you drink that all in, out there, in here, or in here and in here, deepening the breath. Just 1% more, nothing big, nothing over, but just see if you can widen the breath, broaden the breath to really drink that in. I'm going to invite you to stay with that process for as long or as little as you like. And invite you to actively monitor that throughout this entire session. And I'm also going to invite you to know that if you return to this thing later on and it isn't quite doing the same mojo that it's offering you now, that you can continue to redo this, meaning relocate something else that's pleasant and neutral. So it's not really about the thing, it's just about the particular dynamic moments that were present to you and what out there can serve what's going on in here for you. And I'll offer these words. Thank you for being here. Thank you to all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection for us all. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineage, to your communities and those that you serve and touch in this world, to those that hold you in this world, thank you. And the deepest of thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands, that have nourished us all, that have nourished those that came before, that gave rise to us, and those that will continue to nourish those yet to arrive. Thank you. Blessings in your journey today. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. As we start off today's session, interesting, we're starting off in the 12th house, house of the liver, house of the endings, house of releasing, surrendering, allowing, making space. And the liver, I know in a body talk setting, we often think of it as processing anger, and that is true. And also, from a Chinese medicine sense, it also processes sadness, depression, and because it doesn't seem to like go anywhere, anger develops to help to like help to actually move that to create some momentum through the depression or the sadness that's here. And then that anger, if it's not quite mashing well with the sadness, what it ends up doing is we keep getting angry about how sad we are, and the sadness keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the anger keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we end up feeling relatively helpless, and there's a sense of despair or hopelessness that goes on with it all. As we work with it here, it's got this built-in pattern of no one, fill in the blanks, me. No one, blank, me. No one likes me. No one cares for me. No one desires me. No one wants me. No one loves me. No one... You get the idea. And there's all this deep, deep, deep sense and meaning that's been made about that. So as we work with this particular pattern, to whatever degree, whatever layer is ready to release from it, we're going to run a Sidri with it. And then we're actually going to, all along the same timeline, or in parallel, as we said, body talk to the Sidri, and more on the Sidri in a moment. We're going to imagine that we can go out to the very essence of, and pick your word for God, universe, spirit. I'm just going to use spirit for ease right now. And I like all the words. Okay. So the word of spirit, if we imagine we can take our attention for the spirit level, meaning really, really broad out there place to be. And then we can imagine that that liver... And we're going to include the gallbladder in this apparently as well, liver gallbladder complex, as it's the information that was coming through from spirit came through to soul, as it does naturally. There was a bit of misconfiguration happening, and there was some confusion, in essence, some delusion, maybe, illusion, however we want to refer to that. I'm going to call it confusion, again, for ease. Around what it meant to be in human form and be available to relate to another human being. And that confusion came with it, all this idea around no one fills in the blank, fill in the blank, me. No one cares about me, no one likes me, no one loves me. And that literally came from when spirit split into to soul, as well as when soul split into the mental body. Now, yoga has some very long names for these different bodies, and we talk about them in a certain setting in Advanced Body Talk as well. But I'm going to use very simple names. So the five layers are spirit, soul, mental, emotional, all the way into the body, the physical. So we're working with the spirit to soul, as well as the soul to the mental realm for this all. So there might not even be anything physical, but there is something happening at those outer layers that are continuing to perpetuate this experience that feels like it can't go anywhere. It seems to not be able to shift, in part because if you look at it through the physical lens, where it's not located, it looks like it's interwoven into the very fabric of your surroundings. And within that, there's a certain level of existential shock that's holding this pattern in play. So imagine, and feel free to do this with me, and I am doing the Sidri, and I'll talk about those steps in a minute. I invite you to imagine that your hands, and feel free to do this with me, can go as wide as the universe. Can go as wide as the universe. And as those hands, almost like they're a gigantic universe-sized butterfly net, can come on in to the soul level. And they keep coming in. And as this universe begins to get a little bit more relevant, you might even be able to feel this in your country, in your city, in your home. And as we keep bringing it back in all the way into your body, and imagine all that sort of chaotic energy that was lost out there just trying to make its way through to the physical, as you literally do this with your hands, begins to come together as you place your hand on the liver, which is, by the way, on the right-hand side. And it is the gallbladder lives just underneath it. It crosses the midline as well, but the majority of it lives here. If you put your baby finger right where the bottom rib is, this is the landing point of that. So feel free to do that once again now that we know what we're doing. Taking your hands as wide as they can go on the screen. I'm kind of limited, but if I was doing this like you, I'm asking you to do it, I would imagine stretching my arms out as far as they can go and just slowly, slowly bringing energy back in all the way through. And at a certain point, you might actually feel your hands a little bit resistant. Wherever you feel resistance, like they can't quite seem to move past that with any readiness, I'm going to invite you to imagine that we're linking your heart energy that knows harmony at the very core of it. So even though it might be cluttered with some other things in there, the deepest core of it, there's harmony that has this particular pulse to it. I'm going to imagine that we can link that in here. And we're going to keep doing that for every spot of resistance, keep linking into that harmony energy within the heart, which is hardwired in every human being. Even if it's a little bit clouded, I'm going to bring that all the way back through to the liver, the gallbladder. Giving that a breath. I'm going to invite you to do that just two, maybe three more times if you're open to it. And as you do that, I'm going to talk about the Sidri that's also happening at the same time as all of this. So it's actually going to be supportive of moving again in those stuck areas, in particular from spirit to soul and soul to mental. And the Sidri starts with C, circulation of all the healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help the nervous system and the immune system alike to heal. And then also working with the balance of yin, feminine nourishment, and yang, masculine protection. And bringing in hydration, helping the cells take in water, enjoy, and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. Followed by D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here and what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, and opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Integration, introspection, as that's happening. Thinking of it as the release, the surrender, the letting go. We're also going to work with, as I keep scratching it, the area just to the on the right hand side of the spine, around C7. And C7 is thought to be the most yang or masculine part of our body mind. And it works with the GV14 acupuncture point, governing vessel 14. It's also thought to work with accessing other realms, accessing other portals, so there are realms. So I'm thinking of it as an access point in this particular formula to access again spirit to soul to mental. And we're bringing that in from crown all the way through to heart, from crown to brow to throat to heart. And as we do this, it's actually offering a connection point from the heart of the head brain, prefrontal cortex, through to the heart, physical heart. The prefrontal cortex and other modalities is sometimes called the high heart. So linking your high heart awareness to that of your human heart. And it's all being defined, all of the things that I've said so far in our session being defined by the cultivation of compassion, which is literally the capacity to be with suffering and to hold in awareness without necessarily making it personal in any way, shape, or form, even though we might have a lot of history about other things that relate to exactly what this other person is sharing. Finding ways to honor our history and also finding ways to relate to other humans as they're navigating what they're navigating. It's also being defined by the cultivation of santosha, which is a Sanskrit word meaning contentment. Different than shanti, meaning peace. Contentment. And as you work with this, for the heart itself and the pericardium that surrounds it, we need to do some work again with house 12, surrendering, releasing, letting go, making space. Again, house of the liver and the liver meridian. And it's actually working with the consciousness of detoxification, of the habit of looking at life through the lens of pain and suffering, versus taking a moment to be able to somehow, just even taking a breath, we're feeling that moment of this is so personal. I know what this is. They're definitely out to get me, or whatever the hook is. And being able to interrupt that just for half a second is all that's necessary. And if we can notice what's happening as it's happening, that becomes more useful to catch that edge and to interrupt that process. To support that, running circulation of all the basic healing resources that I mentioned earlier as a part of that Sidri. And then we're going to tap this part out here. So, invitation to breathe, to receive. Giving that a slow, deep breath. And one more time, another slow, deep breath. Okay. Then we're actually heading back to the liver, as well as also including the gallbladder and the spleen and the pancreas. We're actually working with the digestive organs and the digestive tract. This is a little left field, so stay with me now. I'm going to invite you to imagine that you can take all those parts just for a moment out of you, and that we can give them an opportunity to go on vacation and have a bit of a rest. We are going to put them back in, but first we're going to give them like a really solid vacation and rest. So I invite you to imagine placing them into the ground, into the earth, and as the 12th house liver stuff, it was so prominent earlier, which works with endings, I'm going to invite you to actually grant your entire digestive system ending energy, meaning we're actually going to grant it the energy of death, and allowing all that's no longer serving to literally die away, to make room for the new to be born into. And as we do this, we're actually going to offer the energy of the heart again, as the heart loves harmony. So it's the ultimate organ, area, consciousness center, however we want to think about it, chakra, we call it a lot of names, meridian. It's the ultimate area which balances all the yang with all the yin, it balances all the human with all the being, it balances as well death and creation itself. So as we allow for the old to die away, and it makes space in a way that's harmoniously resonant with your being, because that's what the heart does. So in essence, we can imagine the heart in charge of this funeral for the digestive system. As it gets buried into the earth, you know, ham it up a little bit. Actually, like, lean into this in your mind. Imagine giving it a funeral. Imagine giving it all the funeral rites that calls to you. And that might be celebration. That might be formal prayer. It might be anything in between. However it is, maybe there's a certain song playing, maybe there's flowers, maybe there's people, maybe there's nature, maybe there's whatever might be there. And you can even get wild with it. You can make it fantastical. Maybe instead of people at your funeral, you just want animals, puppies, kitties, horses, whatever it might be. And the more fantastical you can make this, the more outlandish and ludicrous you want to lean into this with, the more we actually begin to exercise our own creation energy, creative energy, which brings things alive. This is actually a part of it. And it's not so much about reimagining what's happened before as it is injecting it with some droplet of something that's new, bringing in some life energy that hasn't been here before in any other way. And little ones know how to do this. This is why they're always in imagination. They're very vital, they're alive, they're creative in this way. Unless we beat it out of them and tell them, like, stop making stuff up, which we've all experienced in our own childhoods to a degree, some more than others. As we work with that, I'm going to imagine that we can actually literally hydrate this ground, hydrate this soil, where all this energy is being reconfigured, dying away, something new is growing. And we're literally going to water the ground with the tears of the heart itself, releasing from the heart itself the times in which it thought it couldn't do anything, the times in which it thought it was hopeless, the times in which it defaulted to old learned conditionings, the times in which it felt like there was no other way but this, and it felt drudgerous, devoid of joy, devoid of color, devoid of lightness, devoid of meaning, devoid, except for this one particular trapped meaning, which was one single story of consistent suffering. Regardless of the context, whatever the circumstances were. And as we work with this, releasing the tears related to that from the very heart herself, himself, whatever the heart is, it's got both. Maybe the heart stands beyond gender, maybe. And then offering room and space for the status of this heart to be expressed, met, welcomed. We invite you, I know you're imagining a lot of things right now. It's also maybe even imagine that you can hold your heart like a newborn or like a really scared animal that just is in need of comfort. And even though it's got all this going on, it's also still the heart's huge, rock solid in its capacities in so many ways. It's able to nonetheless still continue with this process of the digestive system, honoring of the death and inviting in the new. By again means of allowing for any trapped sadness to release from the heart. And I imagine it's literally like tears of the heart now raining down onto the soil. And from that, something appears. It might be green, it might be fantastical in your imagination in some other way. It doesn't have to actually add up or make sense. So the more creative here you want to be, go for it. But notice what can actually grow. What can actually grow and what pops up. What do you sense? And whatever that thing is, whatever that thing is, I imagine that it's coming directly from your transformed digestive system. I'm going to actually link that into, again, the liver, gallbladder, the spleen, pancreas, all the way through to the intestines themselves. Excuse me. Yawns can indicate that there's a state changing. So I'm actually going to imagine that yawn was indicative of some sort of a state change within the digestive system. I'm talking about my yawn in case you're curious. And, as this new digestive system comes back into the body now, I'm going to invite you to bathe it in whatever color light intuitively calls to you. Pink, yellow, green, blue, brown, black, white, gold, silver, bronze. And as you're doing this, you're actually infusing it with the light of your awareness. And we're again going to deeply connect the very core of the heart energy now that creates harmonic balance and resonance through to the digestive organs and tract alike. And the cool thing is, after getting a bit of a time out, a bit of a vacation, a bit of a break, the digestive system can clearly see and clearly perceive its role. So it actually remembers its natural consciousness without all the layering of stress, trauma, conditioning that's been hanging on to it. Okay. And so just a system, I hear like a sound from it. It's actually like this fine-tuned hum of a motor. And as I hear it, so I hear the energy of it. It reminds me of a motor that's running without any glitches, without any sense of like a bit of a waver. Like, you know, when you've had a car for a lot of years, you know, the engine runs, but there's like a interesting sound or two that happens along the way. This is like a brand new engine. And this is actually linking all the way through to fetal life, all the way through to fetal life. When at a certain stage of development, very early on, you are nothing more than three layers, front body, back body, middle body, would eventually come from those three layers. The digestive system tract was in the front layer, so to speak. And we're going all the way back to that point in time. And we're doing another emotional release, this time also of sadness. This time of deep, deep sadness. And here there was a sense of longing to return to source, longing to return to God, universe, spirit. And a deep, terrible ache around feeling disconnected. And that literally feeling like it was too much to digest. And that's showing up in digestive areas of your life on a, like a physical digestion plane, as well as how it is you're digesting your emotions, your thoughts, how you're digesting your path in life, and how you're digesting the truest essence of who and what you truly are. And it's created turbulence or agitation here. Since we specifically addressed it at this particular point in development, we're bringing in the 10th house, which is about career, achievement, recognition, and self-expression. And it's like as you've been facing career, all your achievements, all the things that you wish to be recognized for or have been recognized for, all of your expressions. Interwoven into the fabric of all of that in a way that was likely confusing at times, was interwoven sadness, making it harder to actually see and orient to the good, the pleasant, or simply neutral. We're going to tap this part out here, invitation to breathe. To receive however feels right for you in this moment, breathing here. Okay. Giving it another round of breath, letting that really settle in. By one breath, I might have meant five. Keep going. Stay with it. Okay, then we're working with the next piece. And I didn't necessarily link this together earlier, but it might be important to be recognized again that the digestive system front layer works with the front body, which is feminine in nature. Works, it's governed heavily by the conception vessel meridian, our primary feminine meridian. So now, next step, we're working with the foundation of the feminine by going into the left hip. And there's belief systems here around what it means to create. And essentially, it's saying creation is dangerous. Saying creation is dangerous. Creation is dangerous. And then it's linking into your own creative energy, which your body is assuming is dangerous. And it's actually beginning to not take it in as something that can offer nourishment anymore, but something to be protected against. So there's been a wall built against your own creative energy of not being able to perceive the depth and the truth of your capacity to create. Which it's just the design of a human being. You can't not. You're hardwired for it. That's just how this thing works in here as a human, part of human nature. And sometimes we actually fear it because we don't know how to bring into creation something that we think might be overwhelming or to be too much for us. We don't know how to actually like destroy it or get rid of it. And it's creating a fair amount of confusion. And I know it's in the left hip, we're gonna get back to that in a moment, but it's also creating a fair amount of confusion between all things crown chakra, transcendence, creative energy in a certain way. We don't speak to that as much from body talk, but it's there. To the heart, which not a lot of people talk about this part of the heart, but the heart is again meant to destroy the old to allow for the new to be connected to via the crown. So for this, we're going to link all things left hip into the eighth house energy, house of Scorpio. And Scorpios, man oh man, they can carry a sting to them. They can cut through a lot of things in a good way, we're going to use it in this case, to allow again for this death rebirth cycle, which Scorpio embodies almost effortlessly. As to your kidney meridians and kidneys that are associated here, to do their thing with the left hip, so it can remember what it is to be creator without the fear of potential overwhelm around creation not being able to be destroyed. As we work with that, we're also going to do a little bit of defrag on particularly the left kidney, the feminine kidney. and its relationship to the left hip. As we defrag, much like that computer defragger, spring clean, take out the clutter that doesn't need to be here. Or remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. We're also going to bring in the solar plexus chakra. Ah, this makes sense. We did all that earlier work on basically transforming the digestive system, which is what the solar plexus chakra connects to and governs. And the solar plexus chakra also works with personal empowerment. So thinking of this as what it means to stand in our feminine. And what it means to stand in our creation energy as a feminine energy in this world. And that might relate to having kids. It might relate to all that you create in this world. It might relate to creating something new and different in a way that nobody's ever done before. It might look at creating a new way that you connect with the people in your lives or one particular person and finding a way through a particular issue. But freeing up the capacity to relate to yourself as a creative person who also has agency all at the same time. And as we work with, as I can put this simply, the restoration of creative agency through to your left hip, we're offering a cellular repair to restore these cells back to their fullest potential of health. Then we're tapping this part out here. Invitation to breathe, to receive. Giving that another round of breath. Then we're going right back to the digestive system. All right, and we're finding the essence of sweetness and the capacity to actually literally take that in and be with the nourishing sweetness of the beauty that may be present in food or life or emotions or anything else. And then we're linking that to a permission statement, and stay with me now on this one. This might inflame all your sensibilities around, right or wrong, or any will-related issues can be inflamed with this one. In a good way, it'll help to resolve some of the pieces that are related to that all for you. And the words here are, a woman has her place. A woman has her place. And I do not mean that in the sense of all the ways that you've likely heard that through your life. And one of you actually directly wrote me about one of these sentiments, and that might be close to almost the exact wording, if not the exact wording. But on the other side of this session, journey, today, and all that it's illuminated, it's actually restored the nourishment of the feminine front body, the digestion, the left hip, the foundation of all things yin and feminine, back to their natural healthy place where they're meant to be aligned, in ways that all the derogatory expressions around a woman has her place have actually had an impact that have pulled these out of alignment. And if there's any emotions left behind those words, a woman has her place, whatever that's bringing up, that might continue to take all the work that we've done and continue to maybe not have it fully land or have it pulled off course or have just other layers to it that don't allow for all of this to like land at the very core of you, to be noticed. So whatever's in the way of that, invitation for that to come up and to be seen. To be welcomed. That might not look pretty, it might, probably doesn't feel good. Probably feels awful, hurtful, painful, shameful, angry, righteously so. And you have every right to have all of those emotions. And as we're with them, so that they're not endlessly trapped in loops of suffering around convictions of being right. I wonder what it might be like just to turn towards them and recognize them for what they are, hurt. And just like you would comfort a hurt child, a hurt dog, my version of a child, since I have animals, not children, a hurt animal of any sort. I wonder what it might be like to imagine that you can actually turn towards it, all the pain that's there in that wound that some environments have expressed to you more than others. And for some of you, this has landed in deep ways more than others. And to just simply be with what's there, to let it tell its story, and to hear it. As we run diaphragm to intestine, supporting processing and reminders of flow versus stuckness. Reminding the emotions of that they're meant to flow and move, not to be trapped and stuck. Not to be trapped and stuck, but to flow, to move, to groove. We're going to tap here. Again, invitation to breathe, to receive however feels right for you. And again, giving that a round of breath to drink in. And I wonder what it might be like to hear on the other side of that all. That you're feminine, that you're yin, that all that nourishes you gets to be in its rightful place as was naturally designed. And I have a song, it's a little bit on the longer side, it's about 5 minutes long. It's called Here in the Now. It's actually a remix. It's by Murray Kyle and Temple Step. Breathing here. I'll share the link. I'm going to invite you to really rest in all that's transpired, including if you're still processing some of those emotions. We invite you to mindfully connect to your breath, touching in on that resource or any other if it feels supportive for you.
And I listen.
What is it to listen to the truth of who and what we really are, and that ache inside of us that calls us forward to move forward in this life in ways that make sense, don't make sense, usually more alike. I wonder what it might be to just honor ourselves in this moment. Thank you for being you. And thank you for bringing all that you do to these tables, to all the tables that you arrive at. Thank you for the energy of all that you've carried and witnessed in this lifetime, and all that it's calling forth from within you even deeper. And thank you for being with that as you traverse this human experience of life. May that continue to unfold in all the ways that you can hear and be with, that speak to you. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, peace, peace, peace. Blessings in the rest of your day and week ahead, y'all. Mwah. Bye for now, and I recognize we're on a few minutes over time, so thank you for staying with me through that. And if you need any additional support, feel free to hang out. Happy to meet you and work with you one-on-one in any way. Yes, here's to the unity, indeed. And you're most welcome, loves. Bye for now. You're most welcome to help you honor you. What a great compliment to receive. Oh my goodness. Thank you for that. Okay, my loves. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Bye for now. Have yourselves a gorgeous rest of your day.